Hello, everyone. So this is what it looks like when you try to get ready after you have been running in about 80% humidity. I went running this morning. I got out into the middle of my run, looked at my watch, and realized that I was 2 miles away from my house and about 30 minutes from this call. And I was like, oh no, if y'all don't know, I don't run that fast. So I had to haul ass. I took a 2 minute cold ass shower because I had to figure out how I was going to cool myself off. Then I did the feats of strength trying to get this bodysuit on and then realized there's just no way that makeup could go on. I am still sweating. I'm just literally sitting here with y'all just sweating. So usually that means that our call will be amazing because if I'm hot, we're going to do good. Can you bring me a cold extend too? And Chris is bringing me glasses. He's bringing me some water. We're going to talk about the discovery worksheet today. So we are in the end of Urges 2.0, which is the self-paced course that we're doing this month. I'm fogging up my glasses. I'm going to take them off for a minute. So if you're brand new to No BS, your job number one is always to take your orientation, and then once your orientation videos are done, they're super fast, is to move on to No BS, the weight loss course. So the entire program is, that includes your calls and ask coaches and the Facebook group and all that stuff. These are what we call the bonus calls, which means that if you have the time to attend, feel free to attend them live. 90% of our members never attend a live recording. They always listen to replays on their private member podcast, or they watch replays on the video site, on the website where the video replays are. And you do not need to watch all of them. You do not need to actually, until you finish No BS, you don't need to watch any of them at all. None of the content that we cover inside of our live calls are ever things that are going to keep you from losing weight. We're not covering things here that if you just stick with the No BS, you'll be fine. So all you have to do is anytime you're wondering, I just don't know, what should I be doing? You go to No BS and you push play on the next video that's in your sequence. And they're all listed in order. They all have a little button next to them that when you finish, if you mark it complete, it'll say, hey, you've watched this one. You can go on to the next one. That's all you have to do. I think a lot of you think that you, I catch especially elders and newbies talking in Facebook about how they don't know what to do and they're so overwhelmed. Get out of Facebook. There's nothing to be had over there. Facebook is where we go and we discuss things that we've learned. Facebook is where we go to meet other people. It's where we go to experience community. But Facebook is not where you're going to learn. Facebook is not where you're going to lose weight. So if you're over in Facebook and you're feeling lost, it's because you're not over on nobswomen.com and looking at the homepage. It says on the very first page, if you just scroll down on your phone, step one, listen to orientation. Step two, No BS course. If you've not finished that course, you have nothing else you need to look at. You have nothing else you need to pay attention to. Okay? So with that, this call is called Busting Urges. This is where we're doing a self-paced course for all the other members who have been here and who have finished No BS, or those who are I can listen to more things, more stuff. I've got more time in my schedule. This is the stage of my life that I'm in. You're free to listen to these calls. And this month we're studying Urges 2.0. So when you finish No BS, you always will have access to this. We keep this particular call is going to be in the self-paced courses. So you can take it anytime you want. So after you finish No BS, if you're like, I really need to work on urges, all of the content, the guide, and everything will be waiting for you. So today we're going to be talking about the discovery worksheet, which I think is one of the most important tools that we give you inside of No BS. So if you want to follow along, you can either get out your planner. There are discovery worksheets in the back of your planner where I'll be talking about the discovery worksheet. You can have your Urges 2.0 guide out if you want, and there's probably some information in there for you for that. Otherwise, you can just listen to what I'm talking about. So make sure that if you are a bottom line bitch, so we always have everybody inside of No BS is divided into three different categories. We have people that self-identify as a bottom line bitch, which means I'm kind of busy in my life. I really don't have time to do a lot of things. So for you, when it comes to Urges 2.0, is you are going to keep tracking. You're just going to keep tracking your urges. You're going to do your 24-hour plan each day. If you can listen to this call, awesome. If you can't listen to this call, no problem. And then what you want to do if you're a moderation mama, which means that you have a little bit more time, like you want to do a couple of extra things, but you don't have time to do everything. A moderation mama is going to attend this week's practice call, if it fits your schedule, with Coach Yesenia. That'll be Saturday afternoon at 12 p.m. She is going to do a walkthrough of the Fuck It Foods worksheet. And then if you're a deep dive diva, which means you love to study, you've got the time, or you make the time, whatever it is, and you want to do all things No BS, make sure you finish listening to all of Module 3 this week or re-listen to it, plus attend Coach Yesenia's call, plus you'll be listening to this call. All right. And this is the last week where we're going to be doing the hashtag busting urges inside the Facebook group, which means that if you take pictures of your worksheets, your binders, anything that you're doing where you're working on busting urges, if you post them in the Facebook group and you use that hashtag busting urges, one person at the end of the month is going to win a deep dive coaching session with one of our coaches. So that'll give you a big old head start on next month's up and coming thing, which is we're not getting new content next month. We're all going to rally and we're going to do the 2-pound takedown. So we will be announcing more of that coming soon, but it's going to be throughout the month of September. We're going to have a goal for the entire membership to lose 2,000 pounds. And then you're going to be on teams. You won't have to sign up for them. We're just going to have hashtags where you'll use hashtags and like you'll either be Team 2 pounds a week. I don't know exactly the names, but we're going to give you all this information in the next few days where you'll get like, here's how you participate and here's what you do. But there'll be team 2 pounds a week. There'll be a team for 2 pounds in a month and there'll be team 2 pounds my way. And so you can either, like, if you've got more weight to lose, you want to lose 2 pounds a week, you can do that. If you are like, I want to lose 2 pounds in a month, you can do that. And if you want to do it your way, you can do things like, you know, like track 2 habits or, you know, there's all kinds of different things. We're giving you tons of ideas on how to make it fun and how to do it together. And then at the end of the month, if you finish it, you'll complete a form. You'll tell us how much weight you lost. We're going to add it up as a whole group and celebrate and use it as our benchmarker for next year. And we have some fun prizes and things like that that'll be coming along the ride for the 2-pound takedown in September. All right. So here's the part where we're talking about after urges. So the discovery worksheet is all about what you do after an urge. So when you think about urges, there's one of two things that happened. You either ate or you didn't. You either decided to eat or you didn't eat, and somehow you were able to say no to the urge and move through it. No matter which one you do, this is key. There is success in either eating or success in either not eating. If you are the kind of person who chooses to learn, I am telling you, I could not have lost my weight without my overeats. Please listen to that sentence. I never could have lost my weight had it not been for my overeats. Because each time that I was overeating, I decided I need to figure out what was going on for me, that I still wanted food to be the solution. So every single overeat pointed me in the direction of a way that I could now learn how to emotionally be there for myself, how to understand my thinking, how to start truly nurturing myself in ways that I had never learned on my own as a child. So I want you to think about that for a minute, because a lot of you decide errantly that if you eat, then it's wrong. Your thoughts, so I want you all to think about the think, feel, do cycle that we teach you. So a lot of you will have your overeat. The overeat is now just a fact. So let's say you overate at dinner, or you had a binge at 3 o'clock, whatever it is, it's now just a fact. It doesn't mean anything until your brain applies some meaning to it. That is where the think, feel, do cycle kicks in. So it's really important when you're thinking about your overeats that you now start to be more choosy about how you decide to think about them. And what I watch a lot of people do that keeps them very stuck is they have thoughts like, this means I can't do it. I was doing so good up until now. I shouldn't be doing this still. For all my people that have been around for a long time, you have this thing about, you have a thought about overeats that you shouldn't still be doing it. This means I'm broken. I'll never be able to stop these. Every one of those sentences that I just said is just a thought. It is something that you've decided to think about overeats. Now, I want you to think about what those thoughts feel like. Most of them feel hopeless. So an overeat doesn't cause us to feel hopeless. An overeat doesn't cause us to feel shame. An overeat or a binge doesn't cause any feelings whatsoever. When you have an overeat, your brain is going to naturally operate from some habit thinking. It will be triggered to think things. And we want to know that. What you don't want to do is just listen to these thoughts, feel hopeless, and then guess what happens on the do line? The more that you allow your habit thoughts to be the only voice in the room, to be the only thing that we're going to allow ourselves to think, to just listen to them or shut down and not pay attention to them. If you feel hopeless, most of you quit. You stop doing a basic. You withdraw in some way. Like you might withdraw from the program for 3 or 4 days. All right. So when we allow thoughts about an overeat to keep us in a hopeless cycle, a scared cycle, a shameful cycle, the next thing we do is we start removing things that would remind us that we might overeat. So I really need y'all to understand this. One of the things I read most often is that you're like, I don't understand why I won't just make my plan. I don't understand why I won't just like stop eating at enough. I don't understand why I don't just do my basics. For most of you, it's because anytime an overeat happens or something goes wrong, you beat yourself up so much in the thought line and don't work on changing it that you feel scared and hopeless and anxious that you start quitting things, because now what happens is each one of those things that you would be doing, like 4 basics, make a 24-hour plan, discovery worksheet, you allow yourself to believe, but I'm hopeless and this isn't working. So you start removing the very things that could fix everything because you're not paying attention to this. This is just looping. And you're not stopping the thoughts. You're not changing the thoughts. So you remove anything that gives you the whiff of feeling these things. That is why the answer to all of it is you have to change your thinking about something. You can't just try to keep forcing yourself to do things. Like, we can't just try to figure out how to, I got to start another diet. This one's not working. No, because you'll take your hopeless ass thinking along with you. And the first time you overeat, the first time it doesn't go the way you think, the first time the scale doesn't move the way you think it should, this comes back and you never addressed it. And so the next thing you know, you're quitting the next diet, telling yourself it's too hard. I don't have time. I can't do it. I don't know what to do next. So we have to fix the originating root causes. So you have an overeat. It is important. And the discovery worksheet, what it does is it teaches you the thoughts and the feelings that were happening prior to the overeat. Okay. So let me show you one more think, feel, do cycle, because I really want you guys to understand this. What the discovery worksheet does is two things. The first thing is it's addressing what are you thinking about your overeat now that it's already happened. Once an overeat happens, it's now a fact in your life. So we want to know, number one, what are my old shitties about it? We definitely want to know that, because I want you to move into the land of this thought becoming, this is going to be the next lesson. This is like whatever that causes overeat is just the next thing I'm working on to lose my weight. Because that's what I did when I was losing weight. I didn't lose weight because I quit overeating. I lost weight because I took every overeat, unwound what was happening, worked on why that was like happening, and then reduced the number of times I was overeating that way. None of us just quit overeating. At some point, you know, your overeats may happen in your first week with no BS. Your overeats might start up 3 months into it. At some point, something's going to happen that's going to trigger your old coping skills. And a lot of times, those first times where those things get triggered, guess what? It happens so fast, you don't hear it. You don't even notice it. You don't know why yet. That's what the discovery worksheet is for. Especially for those that are happening so fast, you've got to unwind them. So the discovery worksheet, number one, addresses overeats as a fact in your life. What are you thinking about it now that you have overeat? And what we want to do is we want to recondition our brains to understand, this is when I'm going to learn something about myself that up until now, I've ate through it instead of figuring out what was really going on with me. And that is very powerful. That is you becoming the hero of your story. The other thing that happens with the discovery worksheet is the overeat is also looked at from this standpoint on the do line. So we have two different versions of a think, feel, do cycle. One, I want to understand that when the overeat is a fact of my life, which means it has already happened, what are my thoughts about myself in regards to the overeat? What are my thoughts about the overeat? What are my thoughts about the overeat in terms of my ability to lose weight? You can journal on all of those things, and you can find plenty of thoughts to do in this think, feel, do cycle to make sure that you're creating a relationship with your overeats that is going to help you solve them and unwind them. Feeling hopeless and talking shitty to yourself has you quitting on yourself, has you not doing the basics because you're afraid you're going to overeat, so you just don't do them at all, so you don't pay attention, has you withdraw from the discovery worksheets. There's no weight loss happening. There's no consistency happening. There's also no finding the things to work on happening here. So that's why we have to clean all that up and really understand this is an opportunity for me. If I set aside my judgment and invite in my curiosity and my compassion with myself, these are things that just happen. And over time, with enough patience from me and investigating, I know I'll figure it out. There's too many no BS women that have figured it out before me. The next place is we have some kind of fact. We don't know what that one was. Like, it could be standing in the pantry. There's something happening up here that's a fact. Let me just write fact so you don't get the two F's confused. Now what we want to do is we want to put overeating on the do line. So this one, the think, feel, do cycle, helps you see when this fact happened and I ate, It's because I started thinking and feeling these things. So we are basically attacking that overeat from two different places. What are my opinions about myself now that it's happened? And this particular overeat, what were the facts that were going on? And what was I thinking and feeling that overeating became the thing that I did? That gives you a lot of insight onto what you need to change about some of the facts that are going on in your life so that eating is no longer what you do. You either tell yourself a new story about them or you just get really aware of your current thinking and feeling and you just say, and that's okay to think and feel these things for now. I'm not ready to change these thoughts, but because I know them and I accept them, I also don't have to eat over them either. I am willing to feel this way about these facts for now. All right. So some of the most common post-urge mistakes are thinking that learning from mistakes isn't as good as getting it right, which is some fucking horseshit. Giving up on the busting urges method, which is what we have talked about this entire month. If you don't know, the busting urges process is you plan your self-talk and visualize your urges ahead of time, because most of us have ones that are always going to come up. I know mine are. Mine's at night. That's when most of my urges always hit. It's always after dinner, a little bit more. That's what my stuff is. So we want to plan the self-talk during those common overeating windows, and we want to visualize the urge ahead of time. That was what we discussed in week one. Second is you redirect your hard talk. So you figure out what is the kind of language that I use when I have an urge. And if it's demeaning, punitive, feels strict, feels like I'm yelling, sounds like something that my mama would have said after I brought home a D on a math test. I want to learn how to redirect my hard talk so that it feels better and more encouraging. Step three is using that now process. We did all of that, I believe, in week two, where we talked about module two, unit eight of No BS on how to, when the urge comes, how to drop into identifying the feeling as it physically goes through your body. Number four is to reward yourself calmly, which means that as you are overcoming the urge, as you are waiting five more minutes, as you are talking nicer to yourself, you tell yourself like how amazing it is that you're doing this, how you're working so hard and how proud you are of yourself. And then the last step is to do another activity that's equally as hard as overeating. Which for most of us, a lot of us are eating because we either are procrastinating. So if we are not wanting to do some work, and if the alternative is to eat, we need to find something in our work that we can do to prime the pump that just gets us started. Like a can I just? If it's because you actually need rest and you feel too guilty to take breaks and stuff, you have to plan a way for you to be able to take a break without beating yourself up. So the lesson isn't to eat and the lesson isn't to go clean a toilet. The lesson is to sit with yourself and remind yourself it's okay to take a break. You're learning how to do this guilt-free. Another one is what we call going into crime scene mode after an urge, which means you trash all your evidence, you start throwing away receipts. Basically, you're running from the scene and pretending nothing happened. A lot of times we're in crime scene mode when we're like, well, I had an overeat, that's okay. I'm going to do better tomorrow. And you just don't think about it at all. You don't process it. You don't look at it. You don't investigate. You just somehow keep telling yourself somehow you're going to morph into a brand new human tomorrow and start off a ball of fire. All right. So let's look at the discovery worksheet. This is discovery worksheet 101. So the main purpose behind the discovery worksheet is I designed it to help you get out of shame and regret so that you can process what happened without a lot of drama. So it goes back to what I was telling you when it comes to that overeat. We're trying, like a lot of you, need to work on your thoughts about the overeat to get out of the shame, because then on the do line becomes very dramatic efforts to avoid work, to avoid doing things. So we want to make sure that you understand that the whole purpose of the discovery worksheet is to help you feel better, to calm you down, to get you out of ignoring or shaming or doing any of that stuff. All right. So one of the things that I do want to say about the discovery worksheet is the newer you are, the harder they seem to be, because you're going to do a lot of them in the beginning. When you're first starting, or when you're starting over, or maybe you've like took a break for a while and you're coming back to like, all right, I have been sitting around piddling with 10 to 20 pounds forever, but you're not really doing your discovery worksheets. You just think you've lost some weight and you just think you should be able to fix this. All right. So when that's you, when you're any of those people, when you first decide to dedicate yourself to the discovery worksheets, you might find you're doing a lot of them. That's okay. That's what they're there for. I would rather you be doing a ton than be doing none. So in the beginning, especially like if you're newer, you're going to have a lot of them because you haven't even figured out you're enough yet. You haven't figured out a lot of this stuff. You don't know all the excuses yet that your brain gives you. You don't know all the sexy talk. Like the discovery worksheet will just, the more you do, the faster you'll uncover everything that you just need to start listening more for and paying attention to. If you've been at it a while and you kind of took your foot off the gas on the discovery worksheets, don't be shocked that when you start paying attention again, especially if you've been plateaued with the same 10 to 20 pounds or 5 pounds for a long time. I'm just going to tell all of you, if you told me that you've been on a plateau for 2 months, I would completely expect that you would say, and here are my 45 discovery worksheets I've done. Most of you who are on plateaus don't really have any discovery worksheets, or you have them when you feel like it's okay to do one. You don't do them for the little things. You don't do them for all that shit. So you don't really know what's going on. You just know you should have lost some weight. You just know you're dicking around with the same pounds. If you're on a stall or plateau, I have yet to coach someone that wasn't overeating in some way. Now, you may think that you're not, but you probably are. Because a lot of times what you'll find is you eat just barely past enough. That's still an overeat. And when you're on a stall or plateau, it's waiting for you to move to the next level of you that's not doing a lot of overeating, even in the subtlest of ways. A lot of you will overeat broccoli and try to excuse that it's okay. That's what the discovery worksheet is for. I've just never coached someone on a stall or plateau, and they'll give me habit trackers. And they'll give me percentages. And when they say like, well, like 90% of the time I'm, eating when I'm hungry and stopping when I've had enough, and 83% of the time I'm eating on plan. I'm like, well, tell me about all your discovery worksheets. Well, I don't really have any. Then you need to get those discovery worksheets done and look for the little things. Instead of sitting around looking at a big fat goose egg and your results and being frustrated and thinking that it should be happening. Because what I watch y'all do is you won't just examine the little things. But what you will do when your weight's not moving is entertain the idea that you've got to do a 180 of Strictville. It's like, I just need to drive 180 miles in the direction of deprivation land. When you're not even looking at the little things that you could be changing just yet. So don't do that to yourself. All right. Here's what discovery worksheets don't work. Let's go over that real quick. It's when you are telling yourself, I have to. When you treat them as a punishment or a have to, instead of a sign that you're figuring your weight loss out. So look for your relationship with the discovery worksheet. Remember when we talked about facts? Some of y'all need to do a thought download or a journal entry on the discovery worksheet. Because if you have shitty thoughts about it, like they make me feel bad. No. What makes us feel something? Our thoughts. A discovery worksheet can't make you feel dick. Whatever you think about them is whether or not you will feel like doing them. So if you think they suck, they make me feel bad, or whatever, you're going to feel resistant. And guess what you do? You keep overeating the same exact way. You give yourself no solutions. You're not reprogramming your habit brain. You're digging your heels in more and more and more. The shit will work for you because you're not learning how to quit blaming your feelings on a piece of paper. Pieces of paper don't hurt us. Same thing. Put in the fact. 24-hour plan. Fact. Stopping at enough. Fact. Hunger. Fact. What I weigh. Fact. What someone said to me about my body, about my food, about my job. All of those are facts. And nothing feels bad until a thought and your brain comes flying in. So it's important, like with the discovery worksheet, that you don't have a thought of, I have to do it. Because for a lot of you, if you're a rebel eater, if you're a rebel in your life, when you start telling yourself you have to do something, your brain immediately runs in the opposite direction. It's like, oh no, that feels really hard. That feels really strict. And so the thing that you do is avoid. So we want to use things like, this helps me figure out my weight loss. I'm choosing to do this so that I can solve my weight loss problem. I'm choosing to do this so I can figure out how to start feeling better. Way better thoughts. Another thing is, you guys, don't ignore them. Don't like just fill them out, then never look at them again. When you complete them, make sure that you, like one of the things that I've done with my discovery worksheets, and yes, I still do them, is especially in my planner, I will go back and look at the last few when I do a new one. So when I do a new one, I always like to go look at the last few, see, am I noticing a new pattern? Is there something that I keep writing over and over again? Because one of the things that I notice with me is like, I'm almost too smart for my own good. It's like, I've been doing this a long time. I don't necessarily always push myself to like look for a different thought to see what was really going on. So I will look at the ones that I've done in the last few days. And if I keep writing the same things over and over again, then this discovery worksheet, I force myself to write new things, new solutions, look for new thoughts that came up, try to identify those things. And then the last thing is telling yourself it won't matter. That's a huge thought error when it comes to the discovery worksheet. It does matter. Every one of them. It won't matter means you're not taking it seriously. They're a game changer. That's how I like to think about them. I don't give y'all anything that I want you doing that I don't think would be a game changer. I think they're super beneficial. And they're one of the things that I would say, like, if we had to strip everything away from the program, discovery worksheets and the 24-hour plan, basically the planner, the 24-hour worksheets and assessments and your discovery worksheets would be a non-negotiable for me. If we had to like leave y'all with just two things, I could coach and teach from those two things. And you could do the same for yourself to the end of time. So they do matter. So don't just rush through them or blow them off. Because the more you change your story around your urges, and the more you change your story around the discovery worksheets and the things that you do to lose weight, the more you decondition your future urges that are going to come. And so we want to be teaching our brain a new way to respond, that when urges happen, they're not emergencies. They are just these things. And I have tools, no matter what happens. I have tools for beforehand. I have tools for if I catch myself in the middle of one. I have tools for if I'm eating. I have tools for if I am, if I've already ate. All right. So now I'm going to break down the discovery worksheet itself. So here's the instructions. Do not skip them. They're important. Sometimes when you're reading the questions, I want you to read them with my voice in your head versus your own. Sometimes that's helpful for some of you to hear me, especially the questions where it's getting you to brainstorm, like, all right, what would Corinne say? I've listened to so many of Corinne's calls. I've listened to her coach so many people. She's been talking to me in my private member podcast. What do I think she would say? Because sometimes you might get stuck on some answers, and that's just a hack to be able to get your brain to just slap on my thinking cap for a minute. And then if before you do the discovery worksheet, you're feeling some shame, you're already feeling some anxiety or whatever, I would suggest you use the now process to calm yourself down after you've overate so that you can let some of that out. And then you have a little bit more of a clear head when you go into using the discovery worksheet. So that now process, we talked about it during Urges 2.0. It's module 2, unit 8 of No BS. All right. So what, where, when did I eat? On this question, I want you to get very specific. We do not want to do any all or nothing statements like, I ate all the food in the house, nachos. Like, be very specific as possible. This is important because the discovery worksheet is essentially helping you with the think, feel, do cycle in a bigger way. So you want to make sure that as you're doing your discovery worksheet, that you're as factual as possible. Just like the other day, I was coaching someone on a call, and she was talking about how she does really good all day, and then at night, she just kind of goes to the shitter. And I was trying to get her to be specific about what was going on. She's like, well, I did good all day long. And she's like, she'd done all these chores and blah, 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 blah. I believe it was it was the Queen's Club call for August. That's the call that I did this coaching on. If you want to go back and listen, it was either that or it was second to the last Sunday in August. Y'all can go back and find it. We'll have somebody in the show notes put this lady's call in there. But essentially, she said, after she had done all these things, she's like, and then I binged on pizza. I just binged. I said, well, tell me more about that. Like, I want to know what did you, like, I really slowed her roll to figure out what actually happened at dinner. She did not binge on pizza. She had 3 pieces and toppings off the others, and she didn't eat all the cookies that she wanted. She ate 3 of the cookies. This is why it's important, because like, she was going to be all or nothing thinking. She would have wrote on her discovery worksheet, binge on pizza. Pizza binge. That is the thought she had about 3 slices of pizza with toppings and 3 cookies instead of 6. Do you see how different that is? So when you were doing your discovery worksheet, that was Sunday's call. Everybody said that was Sunday's call. 8:22, and her name was Raquel. There we go. Thank you, everyone. So this is why it's important that on the discovery worksheet that you are factual. So the next thing is, if it was planned, how many bites did you overeat? If it was unplanned, how much did your brain really have? How much did you really have? This helps your brain focus versus catastrophize. So those are questions that when you're answering that you can ask yourself. Like, well, how many bites did I have? How many pieces did I have? Do approximately how many cookies? Like, try to, like, you guys don't need to be weighing and measuring, but the point of it is when you are writing the facts down, write the facts down, not your interpretation of the facts. We have plenty of time to look at your interpretation, but we really want to get it factual. Even if, like, so my friend Jane, y'all know my friend Jane, she does the Binge Better program. When she binges, it's a binge. I mean, she's eating probably two boxes of cereal, a carton of ice cream, three or four granola bars, and then she'll sometimes drop and get a candy bar and then stop somewhere else and pick up a donut. But she gets it factual. She wants to see all that because otherwise all that her brain, like, it's nice to see, like, this is what happened. And this is what I think about it. Otherwise, the reason, I really want y'all to understand this. The reason why that's important, even if your thought is, that's a binge, way too much, whatever it is, you want to start letting your brain understand, here's what happened. Here's what my brain is making it mean. Because the moment all of you get really good at understanding the difference between the facts in your life and what you think, you have now stepped into control. This is where you start getting into what I just call that thought ninja mode without ever having to change your story about anything. There is relief in understanding. I ate a donut, two boxes of cereal, a carton of ice cream, four granola bars. And my brain is thinking, I'll never be someone who has a normal relationship with food. My brain is making me think, like, this is too much food. Because when you allow yourself to believe that your brain is just thinking those things, you also know that you're in control of, if you wanted to think something else, you definitely could. So, like, even if your brain looks at all that food and it wants to think, that is definitely too much food, that's unhealthy, you could always think, my brain is thinking that's too much food and that's unhealthy, and I'm working on that. Because a lot of you think, like, if it thinks that's unhealthy, that you have to switch to a thought of, like, well, what else would I even think? Like, I know it's not healthy. Well, you don't always have to have the polar opposite thought of one that's not working for you. Often you just need a slightly better thought that gives you compassion, relief, awareness, something different than what you're thinking in Judgmentville. All right. So the next thing, reasons for eating. This is the bullshit that you normally are going to think. So when we write down, what are the reasons why I ate? It's going to be like, I had a long day. I can't be around chocolate chips. It's too hard to say no to potato chips. You will hear all of your bullshit excuses in this thing. And you want to know the reasons that your brain feeds you for eating. Not only the reasons what your brain fed you in the moment, but what are the reasons why you think you ate in this moment? You want to know what those are so that you can go back to each and every one of them and give a counter argument for them. So the more you do discovery worksheets, the more you're going to find sentences that deserve a counter argument from you about why that's not true, how something else could be just as true as this one. Sometimes for a lot of you, you will get a lot of good help from yourself and just understanding this feels true, but this also could be true. It starts teaching your brain, oh, we can hold space for two different ones. And knowing our brains, if one feels better than the other, it might actually want to start thinking that instead eventually, because the brain just wants to feel good. So look for thoughts like, I just wanted it. It tastes good. It won't matter. I won't get this again soon. I was stressed. And then I ate because I told myself. So these questions are similar, and sometimes the answers can be the same, but sometimes they're different. And that's why we ask it in two different ways. So the reasons for eating, a lot of times your brain, that is what you're going to think happened. Like the post overeat self, this is why I think I ate. So if I was looking back, this is probably it. I'm blaming this. I think it was because of this. It was a long day, whatever. I ate because I told myself is you going back and thinking, what did I tell myself? What sentence was the one that got me to get off the couch, go get the chips and eat them? What sentence got me to thinking I should stand in the pantry, peruse and snack? What sentence was I thinking that while I was cooking dinner, that I could just pop stuff in my mouth? It might be, I need to taste this to see if it's good. It might be, that looks tasty. There's an extra. I don't want that spoonful to go to waste. So you want to look for those things. And then you're going to list the feelings you think that this food is going to create. This trains your brain to understand that you are telling yourself a story about food, not the whole truth. So what does that mean? For a lot of you, you think food is making you feel something. Foods do not create emotions. It's not useful for you to even go down sugar lane where you're like, yeah, but sugar gives you dopamine and stuff. I don't think that that's useful at all. For most of you, you use that as a golden egg excuse as to why it's going to be so hard to lose weight. You start saying that you're addicted. You start saying all these things. I've never met anyone tell me that they're addicted to sugar, that sugar has power over their brain. I've never had anyone tell me those thoughts about sugar and them say, and that empowers me to do better. Usually you tell me that stuff and it's just like, yeah, it just makes it so hard. That's why it's so hard. It's like, no, it's not so hard. It's because you're thinking in a very disempowering way. I never, ever think that food gives me any kind of emotional anything. Now, if you want to say, when I eat sugar, I know that my brain is now distracted and there are other thoughts and that's what's causing my relief. That is really the better story to tell, because I want you to think about this. Every single time you have ever ate something, if you felt better, it was not the food. It was because whatever you were thinking before that had you so fucking agitated, you are now thinking, ooh, take another bite. That's called a sentence, and it's distracting you from the other sentences. Or you're thinking, this tastes good. Guess what? That's still a sentence that has a feeling attached to it that's different than the ones you were thinking before you ate. The only thing that ever happens in an overeat is that your brain has new thoughts. If that's all that's happening, then we want to become the kind of person that over time doesn't need to insert something into their mouth in order to trigger their habit brain to offer new thoughts. We want to become the kind of person who, when they don't like how they're thinking and feeling, that if all they really need to do is feel the emotion or change their thought state is just think other things. And you teach yourself to do that over time. That's the long-term fix. So, when you are thinking about what did I tell myself, I want you to just be really aware. What's the sexy talk that I give myself? Because for every sexy talk thing, like it tastes so good, you could always say it tastes so good is true. And I'm learning that I get to have it at any time. if I'm going to continue eating because I'm tired or not wanting to do the next thing, I can always stop eating and just not do the next thing and learn how to talk nice to myself instead of beating myself up, because that's probably what I'm actually avoiding by continuing to eat. It's the beat down that I should be doing something more productive. I should get back to work. I should start cleaning the kitchen. So what is the solve? Continue to eat until I'm like, okay, well, now I'll start. Or tell myself, if I just want to sit here, I'm just going to sit here and learn how to talk to myself differently, because I don't need to overeat in order to sit here. All right. Was I blaming and thinking instead? So there's a question on there about blaming. Blaming is where you're focusing on external circumstances. This is what blaming sounds like. The reason why I ate was they brought food to work. Nobody overate because the boss brought in donuts. That would be like, I want to know for all of my overeaters. Let me ask y'all this, because this would have been me back in the day. Now, if our boss brought in Chipotle, if they brought in donuts, if they brought in nachos and stuff, suddenly my brain is like, well, I don't want to miss out. I mean, it's free. I might as well. I can bring this back. I can bring my lunch back tomorrow. If my boss brought in a veggie tray with no dip and it was just broccoli, cauliflower, no ranch dressing, no hummus, no guac, I don't think I would like be running into the break room worried about how much I was missing out. So, or let's say, I love fried chicken livers, but let's say your boss bought is like, liver for everyone, beets for all, head of broccoli, y'all get after it, you're welcome. Most of y'all would not be making a beeline mowing people down to get into the room. This is how we know that they brought food to work ain't causing you to overeat. If you had wicked diarrhea that day and a stomach ache, they brought food to work wouldn't have you run in there. You'd be like, oh no, having a bad day over here. So this is why we have to quit. We have to be aware of our blaming, excusing, deciding after the fact that something you didn't intend to do is actually okay. Now, this doesn't mean that you've got to beat yourself up, but y'all, there ain't nothing wrong with being a little disappointed in yourself. Well, I didn't want to overeat today, and I did. That disappointment in yourself is normal and a good trigger to do. I should do a discovery worksheet. That will help me figure out what's going on. But this is what's not normal. I'm a fuck up. I'll never get this. That, it's a no. But excusing, I didn't even want to eat what I planned anyway. Like, that's where we're using excuses. It's like, well, I'm doing a discovery worksheet. Like, I'm going to make this all okay. I never make my overeats okay. I don't beat myself up for them, but I always just tell myself, opportunity to figure out something going on. My long-term self thanks me kindly every single time I do one. Justifying. This is where you're rationalizing the response with evidence. Well, I had a small breakfast, so I deserve a bigger lunch. Well, I missed lunch, so I can eat more at dinner. I didn't eat much dinner, so I can have a snack. Look for your justifications of when you're telling yourself it's okay to eat when you're not hungry. And then don't get caught up in the definitions. Just focus on the truth of the situation, that if no one is force feeding you, your overeats and off-plan eats are always in your control. So just the biggest thing is just know, my overeats, they are in my control. I may not know how to find the thoughts yet. I may be missing some of them, but that's all okay. It's all about paying attention. It's about doing the worksheet. It's about getting to know myself. And the more I do that, the more I'll figure this out. Also, I would suggest if you sometimes take your discovery worksheets, type it out, put it in Ask Coaches and let them help you work through it. All right. So the other question is patterns. Use the what, where, when part of the worksheet to find your trends. So like if you're always doing the same behavior in the same place and time, this is what I want you to understand. It's probably now queued up in your brain that when you sit on this couch, when you stand in this pantry, when you feel this emotion at work, when you don't get like your work done for the day, when something like that happens, look for your patterns. Those now become cues. And what that means is like your brain is like, oh, when these series of events happen, when these certain things happen, I'm going to send up thoughts about food and the desire to eat to cope. That's the purpose of the discovery worksheet, is to identify more of those patterns so that you're prepared that, all right, when these things happen, I'm going to pay attention, probably going to want to eat. And I'm going to use the busting urges process by visualizing and telling myself how I want to think and feel in these situations. And then when the time comes and my brain goes immediately to its old shit, I also have something rehearsed that I can also start saying. So what I like, kind of like what, like my period, y'all have heard me talk about my period protocol 1,000 times. I'll cover it again one more time. You're going to create a protocol around something that you do regularly with your overeats to create a disruption in the pattern. So my period protocol is when I'm on my period, on the first day, I plan a lot of carbs. I know me. I'm going to want all the carbs. I'm going to want no vegetables. Meat turns my stomach. Like, I just know how my belly is. So I always have a period protocol for the first day that's like, plan all of the things that you love to eat so that today you're not having to justify, negotiate, do all these other things. I get to practice being the person who eats what's on my plan when I'm hungry. It has worked beautifully for years. And that's only because I noticed over time that the first day of my period was always breaking my plans. I'd go into it thinking I'm going to eat just like I normally do. And that never happened. And so I decided to just work with it. And if I'm not hungry, I just don't eat. I have done so much better since I've started doing that. All right, what can I do different next time? I want you to look at your busting urges material and decide what to tweak. So you start looking at your discovery worksheet. You start looking at your tools. You start looking at everything and be really honest. Like, am I planning my self-talk? If I'm noticing patterns, have I been trying the now process? Have I been planning and visualizing how I'm going to do it different next time? Am I doing the things? Am I redirecting hard talk? Am I calming myself down and reward talking? Have I found other things to occupy my time that are equal or easier than eating? If you're not doing those things, that's the kind of things you want to put in. What can I do different next time? A lot of you just put like, don't eat. That's not a strategy. If don't eat was going to work, you would have already done that by now. How are you not going to eat? What are you going to say to yourself? How are you going to make it easy? What reminders are you going to set? What do you need to look out for beforehand so that you've got a really good warning that it's coming? And then last and the most important lesson is that you really do have to decide that your overeats and off-plan eats have something to teach you about your needs in this life. Your emotional needs, your self-care needs, your overeats are telling you some story about food is off. Some story about your life is off. Some story you've got somewhere is off. Your overeats are telling you there's an emotional need that right now you're solving with food, and it's time to learn a new way. That's all they're doing. They're just telling you a story. You might need more rest. You might need more self-care. Those are all things we're going to cover at October camp. You might need to set in like more boundaries with people because you're always people-pleasing. Stuff we'll cover at camp. You may need a better relationship with yourself around making mistakes. Your overeats are telling you something, and a discovery worksheet is your guide to know what it's telling you. All right. That is it for today. Let's see. We got a couple of questions up here. I'll answer those and then we'll get out of here. I had an anniversary surprise yesterday with my hubby. I had a drink, only drank half, no dessert, and ate off plan, but only until full. Do I just write it down or should I consider this an overeat since I did not stay on plan? I always err on the side. This is, so my, remember when I talked about the think, feel, do cycle? My relationship with overeats is one to where there's no shame. It's always like, I want to learn from this. So I would do one. Why not? I would love to see what it tells me about myself. Because here's the other thing about sometimes doing the discovery worksheets. You may really like your reasons for what you did. You may have made equal swaps. You may have leveled up. You want an opportunity to celebrate yourself too, to let it lock and land. So there's no harm in doing them. All right. I'm a bit confused. On one hand, I hear Corinne say urges are forever. Then she says you can recondition them. Do they go away or not? They never go away, but some of them do. This is the thing. The way the human body works for everyone is urges are here to stay. But the way that you experience them is where you're going to see the big change. Like, urges to me just aren't as big a deal as they used to be. I used to like be like, I got an urge, I want to overeat. Like, it would send up so much fear and all this other stuff. We want to decondition, first of all, the relationship you have with the urge. And then you want to decondition your response to the urge. Then you want to get to where, like, you just don't respond to very many of them. But you're always going to have them because you have a human brain. The human brain is designed to shoot up desire for something that it senses might taste good, feel good, or whatever. But what we've done is we've unconditioned ourselves to deal with desire. We just, like, if you think about nowadays, if you want to know something, you Google it. If you want to eat out, Uber Eats. If you want groceries and don't want to drive, you ship it. Like, these days, our brain is very used to sending up desire as a way to immediately solve things. So we just want to decondition them as we go. So some you'll notice, like, I just, like, for me, here's a good one. Logan, like, he orders a slice or two of cake every single week from the grocery store. Used to be, back in the day, if there was cake in the house, I couldn't even stop thinking about it. If he only ate half, I'd want to finish it. And I would need to finish it. And I would, like, my urge would be like, oh, you should finish that. Nowadays, like, other day, I was actually in the pantry and I thought, why is there a half-eaten piece of cake in here? It didn't even occur to me to eat it. It didn't even occur to me to think about eating it. Now, if I've had a long, hard day, I'll be laying in my bed. I will have ate dinner and I will start thinking about all the things I didn't get done for the day. I will start thinking about all the things I need to do for the next day. The next thing I know, I'm wanting to go downstairs and, like, I don't even care if it's a bowl of watermelon, just wanting to eat to be eating. Because what I really want to do is I want to reset myself, get distracted from all of that, and then get to where I can go to bed. That urge has never gone away. So it just depends, okay? How can I create success at weight loss with my thoughts? I'm not 100% sure what that means, but I will say this. We are going to be doing a lot of that at camp. That whole third day is going to be me taking rapid fire people. Y'all are going to do a worksheet around your future self and, like writing the hero story of you. And then we're going to do live with me taking person after person saying, like, all right, tell me what you think you'll be thinking, feeling, and doing as your future self. And then I'm going to take you through and give you, like, all right, this is how you're going to do it today. This is how you're going to do it today. This is how you're going to do it today. I'm going to start drawing direct lines to how you start experiencing success at weight loss in your current life. So for some of you, one of the good examples that I have is if you envision that the future version of you doesn't think about food all the time. That means you today needs to do a 24-hour plan. And then all day long, when you notice yourself thinking about switching foods, wondering if that food is going to, like, is that what you want? When you notice yourself thinking about food, you have to shut it down. You have to teach your brain thousands of times a day, like,
Oh, we already made a plan today. Oh, we already made a plan today. Like, I know you want to think about food, but you don't need to because we have a plan today. Oh, if you want that, let me write that down so that tomorrow I'll remember to plan that. The future you who no longer thinks about food has been deprogrammed in the beginning. So that's how you start today, not thinking about his food as much, is by training your habit brain to make it conscious so that you're actually hearing it louder and teaching your brain how to end it. And then pretty soon, you're not thinking about food as much because your brain gets used to the idea, oh, I planned it. Oh, if I want that for tomorrow, I'll just write it down. And then it starts rolling. So that's how you start like experiencing success now or experiencing the feelings of the future self now before you get there. Okay. That's everything. You guys have a great, great day. I will see all of you. I think the next time I see you guys is on Sunday. We have, what we got going on? Oh, no. I see y'all Saturday morning. Don't forget, Saturday morning is monthly planning and assessment. What that means is bring your juicy data for the month of August. I'm going to be talking everybody through how to look at their data, what to set themselves up for success for next month. What are you going to work on? We're going to break it down into the littlest of detail, do all the things. So that'll be 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then I will also see you guys at 11:30 a.m. Sunday morning, Central Time, Women with Disabilities. And if you care for people with disabilities, you have your call with me. Everyone's invited, but we will only be coaching topics around anything that if you've got a disability or you are caring for someone with a disability, I will be coaching you. And then 1 o'clock will be our normal coaching with me, 1 p.m. Central Time on Sunday, weight loss coaching with me. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.